today for this time around the world. Father, as always, we approach the word with faith and believe that we receive revelation and the information and impartation that causes us to change. Father, primarily we thank you that each and every hearer of the word, Father, is being healed. Sickness and disease cannot live or exist in and on our bodies, Father. We thank you and we give you praise, Father. We are the healed and not the sick. Now, Father, I thank you. Sickness and disease has no right or authority to show its face or to act up in the lives of the partners of VCCI. We thank you. Every last one of our partners is healed, Father, from the top of their head to the soles of their feet all the way out to the tip of their toes. Father, we thank you with long life you're satisfying us and you're showing us your salvation. And we bless you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated. Good evening. Praise the Lord. How you doing? Good. Good. Well, we're talking about the healing ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ, and all we're doing is going through looking at the individual healings in his ministry. Amen. We said that healing was an essential part of Jesus' ministry when he was here on the earth. Consequently, as a body of Christ, it is still an essential part of his ministry. It just needs to be carried out by and through us. Amen. So we're not just looking at just how to get healed, but we're also seeing how he ministered healing. Now, we said there's only about 19 individual healings. By that, I mean 19 situations where we find out what was wrong with the people, who they were, what they did to get their healing, what Jesus did to minister it to them. There are a lot of situations where you see the Bible says he healed them all, which is good news because we said there had to be at least one scoundrel in the bunch. Amen. I think Matthew 8, 16, 17 talks about he healed all that were sick. All right. Well, if all of them got healed, that means the scoundrels got healed too. Amen. So if you're not perfect, doesn't mean you can't be healed. Amen. Amen. Just means you ain't perfect. Amen. But what we're doing is we're going through just looking at the individual healings. Those 19, and I say 19, about 19, because, you know, he did raise people from the dead. If you count those, you know, the number could change. But dead is a different level of sickness. So we're not necessarily looking at those because we know that the people's faith had nothing to do with that. That was a gift of the Spirit. Now, it seems like we said there's more because the synoptic gospels generally will carry the same stories. What's the synoptic gospels? Okay, that's good. Now, what's John called? Mm-hmm. John's called by some writers the other gospel, simply because he has stories in it that the others don't carry. Matthew, Mark, and Luke generally have some of the same stories, but John has stories that only he, recorded. All right, now remember that. See, I was going to give away something, but y'all ain't know it, so. So far, just from a standpoint of truth, there's some things that we've come up with that I think we need to keep saying and keep saying because you need to get it in your heart. Number one, we said everything that Jesus said and did is a direct revelation of the will of God for all men for all time. Now, that's important simply because you can use Jesus' ministry to kind of gauge what is and is not the will of God. All right. If we look and see what he did, we can kind of understand what things are and what things are not the will of God. Because Hebrews 4:15 says that he was tempted in all points, like as we are, yet without sin. So Jesus never missed it. All right. In other words, Jesus never had to ask the Lord to forgive him for anything because he never missed it. Consequently, then, every action he took would have to be something God approved of. Yes. Right. Yes. Something we could say was the will of God. Yes. Because, see, if he did something that wasn't the will of God, it would have been sin. Mm-hmm. And he never sinned. So when you want to know what the will of God is, you simply can look at the ministry, the life of Jesus, and things he did have to be the will of God. Mm-hmm. And it goes further. It's a revelation of the will of God for all time. So in other words, if you can find in the Bible where Jesus made somebody sick, then see, we could say sickness is the will of God. Because see, if he made somebody sick and never sinned, then we have to come to the conclusion that every now and then God could put sickness on you. But you can go from Matthew, Revelation back. You can look at maps. You can look at their table of contents, and you will find nowhere in there where Jesus made anybody sick. Now, here's what you will find. Every individual that came to him got healed. And you never see him tell somebody, hold on, come back tomorrow, not right now. What other stuff can you hear behind the pulpit sometime? Maybe God trying to teach you something. God's trying to work something out in you. See, you never see Jesus do that. All you see him do is relieve people of sickness and disease. So then, healing is the will of God for every man for all time. Now, that includes you. All right, the will of God for your life is that you be well. Whole. Amen.
Amen.
All right. We wanted to start paying attention to what people did to receive their healing. And so far we've looked at, five cases, I think. We looked at the man with leprosy who got healed by his faith. Y'all remember that? We looked at Peter's mother-in-law. And Peter's mother-in-law was, Luke says she had a great fever. So we didn't see, there was no evidence that her faith got her healed. So we attributed that to a gift of the Spirit move or just a move of the Holy Ghost. Because now you do realize sometimes God just does things on his own. When I say on his own, let me back up because let's clarify that. See, God's illegal in the earth without somebody asking him to do something. All right, now that's important to note, that God just can't step into your life and just redo it without your invitation. Now this is why prayer intercession is so important. Because it opens doors for God. And watch, I'll even back up even further. Why you're praying in the Holy Ghost is important. Because when you pray in the Holy Ghost, God's talking to God, in essence. Because the Holy Ghost is God. All right? Just as much God as God is God. So they're having a conversation about things in the earth. And it's always the perfect will of God. Now, I didn't just make that up. That's in your Bible. I just don't have time to go to all them scriptures. All right, when you pray the Holy Ghost, you're praying the perfect will of God. So God's asking God to do things in the earth. And this is one of the things that opens doors up for gifts of the Spirit to flow. Like I said, but I just don't have time. All right, and I don't ask you to trust me a lot, but you just got to trust me on this one because I ain't got a lot of time. All right. When you pray in the Holy Ghost is praying through you. It's legal because you're doing the praying. Amen. It's coming through a human vessel. Amen. And it's God talking to God about things to be done in the earth. And it's always the perfect will of God. That's why I think, this is my humble personal opinion, anytime you pray something in English, you ought to kind of cap it or put some icing on it by praying for a moment or two in the Holy Ghost. Simply because you might just pray 30 seconds in the Holy Ghost and be more effective than you were praying an hour in English. So you always should just cap it by praying in the Holy Ghost. And see, what we do is we end up opening doors where miracles can flow. Because there are things that God will do without necessarily somebody believing for it. Now, hold that because I gotta not fix that, but I got to add something to that so you don't run off thinking the wrong thing, all right? Now, the man with leprosy, he got healed by his faith. Peter's mother-in-law, we attribute that to a gift of the Spirit. We see nothing by her faith. The third one was the man born by four. Remember the dude they took up on the roof, all right? And we said, you see something about the group that he was traveling in, just that somebody would suggest, we ain't going back home without getting to Jesus. And see, most people don't have the gumption or the stick-to-itiveness to hang in there to where they say, you know what, I don't care what happened, I'm getting my miracle. But these guys couldn't get in where he was preaching, so they took him up on the roof. A paralyzed man.
Amen.
Now, I know you got big-time faith. That you can move around. And I dare say you ain't been on a roof. You ain't been on a ladder this year. And you ain't going on a ladder. much less to be paralyzed and to be taken up on a roof. But the Bible says when they tore the roof up and let him down, the Bible says when he saw their faith. Amen. All right, so that guy got healed because those guys had faith. And then we saw, I think, what? The nobleman's son. When he traveled 15 miles to get to Jesus, he gets to Jesus, and Jesus, he said, come go home with me. Jesus said, man, unless y'all see miracles, you won't believe. He said, please, come, or my son's going to die. Jesus didn't go with him. He said to him, go your way, your son lives. He gave him six words. Now, the man had walked 15 miles to get to Jesus. He turned around, because the Bible says this, and he believed the word that he spoke. He turns around in his home. 15 long miles with the devil on his back. Because I guarantee you the devil was on his back. And the Bible says as he got closer home, some of his servants came to him. And you know when the servants are coming, the devil goes, I told you, your son dead. Has the devil ever talked to you? And tell you something you was believing for won't gonna happen? Has the devil ever told you it ain't gonna work? Or, and this would be a logical question, so it mess you up sometimes. Where you going to get that money from? That's what paralyzed folk with seed. They got seed, but if I get rid of this, where is the money going to come from? That ain't none of your business. God will come by it honest. Since when did that become some of your business? Your job is just to put the seed in the ground. So, you know the devil's talking to this guy. Your son's dead. But whenever they came out, they said, man, your son's alive. He said, well, when did he start to get better? They said, and they gave him a time. He knew it was the moment that he believed and turned and headed home. Are you following me now?
Yes.
All right. Then last week, we looked at, who was it last week? The man with the withered hand. Okay. Thank y'all for being here last week. All right. The man with the, let's look at this again, because this is important. This got an important truth in it you got to get a hold of. Let's go again to Luke 6. Yeah, kind of build it. It was, started out a little punkish, but it got there, it got there. Luke 6 and 6. It says, and it came to pass also on another Sabbath that he entered into the synagogue and taught. And there was a man whose right hand was withered. Some Bibles say shrunk, some say deformed. But anyway, he's had a problem with that hand. And the scribes and Pharisees watched him, whether he would heal on the Sabbath day, that they might find an accusation against him. But he knew their thoughts and said to the man which had the withered hand, rise up and stand forth in the midst. And he arose and stood forth. Then said Jesus unto them, now Jesus talking to the Pharisees, I'll ask you one thing. Is it lawful on the Sabbath day to do good or to do evil, to save life or to destroy it? And looking round about upon them, he said to the man, stretch forth thy hand. Now remember we said he didn't say stretch forth your arm. He told him to stretch forth his hand. Now, see, the hand is the reason why the man's there in the first place. He could have very easily said, I can't. It's withered. That's why I'm here. See, he could have very easily said that. That'd be like saying, get out the wheelchair. Get out the wheelchair, that's why I'm here. I came here because I'm in a wheelchair.
Yes.
Get out the wheelchair. Jesus, see, what most people want is zap me first.
Yeah. Right.
Hit me with the power. Yeah. And then see, when the power hits me, I'll get up and I'll walk. Here's the problem. There ain't no faith in that. That's why it doesn't work. Now, what does he have to do? He's got to begin to move or try to move this hand. Now, watch what it says. And he did so. He did so. He did so. Who's the he? The man with the withered hand. All right? He didn't get zapped first. He tried to move his hand first. And in the moving of the hand, he then got zapped, bam. Now see, here's the thing. What are you waiting on? Are you waiting on something to happen first? Then you're gonna do something? or you're going to do something so something can happen.
Hallelujah.
Y'all follow me now? All right, now watch. What the book of James, I think, says? Faith without works is dead. Now, the Amplified says, you know, it gives you a better kind of, you know, when you read out of King James, it makes it look like you could be justified by works. You can't be justified by works, but you're justified by a belief that shows or has works with it. Are you following? In other words, if you're in a place where something doesn't work, my elbow is got arthritis in it, and see, I'm waiting to be healed so I can move it. No, move it. See, start moving it. Since you believe you're healed,
Amen.
Don't wait on a zap. Start trying daily to move the thing. See, start trying to work the thing. If your kidneys have died, well, you know, maybe you don't go to the bathroom anymore. Get up and go anyway.
Yeah.
Just 3-4 times a day, just going in there. Ain't nobody's business. That's your bathroom. See, what are we saying? Well, I believe my kidneys are restored. That's if I'm believing that, well, then I ought to try to go to the bathroom.
Amen.
Are you following me? Now, I'm not watching now. I'm not taking action to try to get God to heal me. I'm taking action because I believe something. Now, it's subtle, but there's a difference. See, for instance, if you say, well, you know what, I'm going to throw my medicine away, you know, just because, so maybe that'll get God to heal me. No, that's manipulation. That's witchcraft. And you will die from that.
All right.
You follow me?
Yes.
See, if you say, well, maybe if I throw my medicine away, God will heal me. That's not faith.
Mm-hmm.
That's foolishness.
All right.
If you're not taking a move because you believe a word from God, you are not in faith.
Amen.
If you can't point to a word, why are you doing this? Because the word says this. If you don't have that, you're not in faith. And whatever move you make is not going to bring you any action. Because I want to make sure you don't go home, quit taking your insulin, thinking something stupid. See, that's dumb. That's not what we're talking about. You follow me? And people will do stuff trying to make something happen. No. See, the things already happened. Jesus already died. The healing anointing of God's been released in the earth. You were made the healed of God the minute you got born again. All you need to do is believe so it can manifest.
Amen.
Y'all follow me now?
Yeah.
So don't go home and do nothing dumb.
All right.
I ain't taking my high blood pressure no more. And cook me some bacon. I'm healed. No, you about to go wait. You about to go home. You about to go home to be with the Lord. You about to get that headache, that swimming headache. Better head for the ambulance. No, that's not what we're talking about. If you can't say, I'm going to do this because the word says this, it's not faith.
Amen.
See, he can try to stretch his hand for a while because Jesus said, stretch forth your hand.
Hallelujah.
Don't y'all go home and do nothing stupid now. You ain't got no scripture that you believe, then you are not in faith if you take some action apart from that. If you act because you believe this word, that's faith.
Mm-hmm.
Now, here's what I wanted to say. That's 1, 2, 3, 4. That's 5 folk. Out of the 5 we looked at so far, 4 of them were healed by their faith. Only one, and we still kind of, you know, that's kind of half and half. Only one that we can see that got healed by a miracle. What we say is just God moving without somebody's faith. Now, you need to get a hold of this. If you're going to get healed, if you're going to get delivered, if you're going to be prosperous, you better get your faith working.
Amen.
If you're just going to sit around and wait to see if something's going to happen, it might or might not happen because we don't control the gifts of the Spirit and when they flow. All right, but you can control your faith.
Amen.
And so far, 4 out of 5 people that got healed
Amen.
On their faith.
Amen.
Are you with me?
Yes.
Now, tonight, we're going to look at this centurion servant.
Amen.
All right, this centurion servant, and we find that in 2 places. Let's go to Matthew chapter 8, please. Matthew chapter 8, and then if you can do more than one thing at a time, find Luke chapter 7. And if you can't do them on one thing at a time, just do the first one, and then we'll go to the second. Are you there? Now, again, we're going to get hold of an important truth. Now, the truth we saw with the man with the withered hand was, see, you can't sit back and just wait for something to hit you, and then you're going to act. Mm-hmm. All right? Act, and that's what draws the power. And why are we acting? Because we got a word we believe. Amen. All right? Now, Matthew 8, verse 5 says, "And when Jesus was entered into Capernaum, there came unto him a centurion beseeching him and saying, Lord, my servant lieth at home, sick of the palsy, grievously tormented." So now this boy in trouble. Because tormented is enough alone. If it just said he lays at home sick of the palsy, tormented, he in bad shape. But when you put this adverb on it, grievously tormented, this boy's in bad shape. All right? "And Jesus saith unto him, I will come and heal him." Whoa. Now think of that. Come on, ain't nobody here but us. All right, you travel to meet Jesus. And you say, my son's home or my servant's home sick. You know, if he prayed right there, that'd be cool.
That's right.
If he gave you some water from the Jordan and said, sprinkle this on, that's cool. But when he says, I'll come to the house, oh, my God. You know, you'd be like in the car, look, clean up, hurry up, clean the house up. Clean up. You ain't going to believe who I'm bringing home with me. Man, you got to be kidding. Wow, he's coming to his house. But now watch. "The centurion answered and said, Lord, I'm not worthy that you should come under my roof. But speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. For I am a man under authority, having soldiers under me, and I say to this man, go and he goes, to another, come and he comes, and to my servant, do this, and he doeth it. When Jesus heard it, he marveled." Man, this dude, man, just, he blew Jesus away. Just like, what? He marveled, it says. Wow. Well, don't you want your faith to marvel? It caused Jesus to marvel. "And said to them that followed, verily I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel. And I say unto you that many shall come from the east, west, and shall sit down with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. But the children of the kingdom shall be cast out in the outer darkness, and there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And Jesus said unto the centurion, go your way, and as thou hast believed, so be it unto thee. And his servant was healed in the selfsame hour." How many believe it happened just like that?
Amen.
This isn't a parable. This isn't a story. It happened just like that. All right? Now let's go over to Luke chapter 7. In fact, I'm going to read this out of the Living Bible. You can follow along, though, with me in your translation. That'll be just fine. Luke 7, verse 1 says, "When Jesus had finished his sermon, he went back into the city of Capernaum. Just at that time, the highly prized slave of a Roman army captain was sick and near death. When the captain heard about Jesus, he sent some respected Jewish elders to ask him to come and heal his slave." Now, we gotta point something out here. Luke says that he sent somebody to talk to Jesus. Matthew said that he himself talked to Jesus. Now, it'll look like we got a controversy, some conflict here. But in essence, the whole story, just to get to the end of it, is about authority and delegation. Now watch. When there are times President Bush does not travel to meet with a dignitary. He'll send the Secretary of State. But the Secretary of State is not speaking for herself. She's speaking for him. And basically, whatever she says, it'll be in essence like he said it. You know, it won't be, well, you know, the Secretary of State says so-and-so, and he's saying something different. Because she don't really get to say whatever she might want to say. She has to say what she was ordered to say. All right? And so while it's really not a conflict, all he did was he sent these guys to talk on his behalf. And in essence, they were speaking for him. Everybody follow me now?
Yes.
All right? See, now watch. Anytime there's a conflict, just go with God. That's all. If it looks like there's some kind of biblical conflict, just ask God to give you an explanation of what actually happened, because the Bible's right.
Yes,
see, the Bible is right. Amen. All right. So now, yeah, everybody understand?
Yes.
All right. So there ain't no conflict. All right. It's just delegation. So verse 4 says, they began to plead earnestly with Jesus to come with them and help the man. They told him what a wonderful person the captain was. If anybody deserves your help, it's he, they said, for he loves the Jews and even paid personally to build us a synagogue. Jesus went with them, but just before arriving at the house, the captain sent some friends to say, "Sir, don't inconvenience yourself by coming to my home, for I'm not worthy of any such honor or even to come and meet you. Just speak a word from where you are, and my servant boy will be healed. I know because I am under authority of my superior officers, and I have authority over my men. I only need to say go and they go, or come and they come, and to my slave do this or that, and he does it. So just say be healed, and my servant will be well again." Jesus was amazed. Turning to the crowd, he said, "Never among all the Jews in Israel have I met a man with faith like this." And when when the captain's friends returned to the house, they found the slave completely healed.
Amen.
All right, now, let's milk this. Y'all ready?
Yeah.
All right, again, now, verse 1. He goes into Capernaum, and there's a centurion. Now, a centurion was a Roman soldier, generally a captain of 100 men. So this is a soldier. He is not a Jew. He probably has killed folk. He a soldier. Who knows what kind of life he has lived, but we find out that he is sympathetic to the Jewish people. Y'all follow me now? And now see, he could have been the kind of cat that just lorded it over them, because most of Rome oppressed Israel while they had them in captivity. But this particular guy was different for whatever reason. And it says now, he had a servant that was dear to him. The other translation said he was highly prized. But this guy's about ready to die. And now verse 3, here's the beginning of faith. When he heard of Jesus, because faith comes by
hearing.
All right, if you want strong faith, you need to do some
hearing.
All right, now get this, not praying, hearing. Not belittling prayer, but praying does not increase faith. Faith is increased by hearing. And what you need to hear is the word of God preached.
Amen.
In whatever area it is that you find your weak in faith. If the devil's tormenting you somewhere and you really are believing that something ain't going to happen, it's like that service engine soon light in your car. All right? When fear is present, it means you need to hear some Bible. I was like, I'm gonna die. You need to hear some healing word. I ain't gonna be able to pay my bills. You need to get you some finance word. See, it won't help your finances to hear about water baptism. And see, I point that out just to say, people think faith is faith is faith is faith. That ain't how it works. Faith in one area can be strong because you worked it and you hear. You know, it might be that healing's your favorite area, and you hear healing all the time, so you're strong in faith. Now, finances will work the same way, but if you don't hear about it, your faith won't be strong in that area. And you can get healed, but you'll be broke. All right, listen to me. All right, any area that you're having problems in, that's the area you need to be hearing. And again, just, you know, for the sake of helping somebody who might never have heard it, you need to have a faith tape, a healing tape, a finance tape, and a family tape that's your favorite, that you don't lend to nobody. And you play every now and then just to keep your faith in areas sharp. So you need money all the time. You need healing all the time. If you work around and be with other people, you need something about relationships. And then you just need faith just to keep the whole thing moving. You know, we need to talk about faith all the time because everything works by faith. All right? And it's hearing that starts the process of your miracle. It's healing that starts the process of your receiving. Some of you have not received because you're confessing and believing, but you ain't got no faith. Because you ain't heard no word in that area. That's the key issue right there. All right, we speak because we believe, but we believe because we hear. Amen. So the first thing we need to do is do some hearing. Got to do some hearing. God will move for you, but he's only going to move for you if you believe. Mm-hmm. And you can only believe what you hear. Amen. See, what you've not been hearing, you know, but you don't know. There's things you can quote that don't work for you. And they don't work for you because they ain't in your heart. And it gets in your heart by hearing it. You follow me? So there's certain, I love music. I do. But I ain't got that much music in my car. I love music. Music's good. You know, and I listen to it. I got a lot of gospel stuff. But when I get in the car, I want to take advantage of that time. And so, see, 10 minutes of preaching will bless my life sometimes more so than a half an hour of music, depending on what you listen to. You follow me? Again, music, man, good, praise, listen to praise, listen to worship. But now when I'm talking about receiving something, I need to hear some Bible. That's why if you broke, you need to have, somebody, you need to go in your pocket and pull out a finance tape that's worn out. Can't even see the title on it no more. What's this? This is my tape, man. This is the thing putting me over right here. I'm about to get over. Why? I'm hearing this word. Amen. 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 See, Pamper, you ain't going to let us ask why. We ain't going to have no fun. Well, now, what kind of fun you want to have? Amen. You want to have fun with your broke sick self? Or you want to have fun prosperous and healed with a big screen TV so big you got to move your head to see what's going on. That's what I want. I want a 95, the whole wall, just TV. See, if anything is possible. Oh Lord, here we go. See, anything's possible. That's Bible. Anything, God's not slack of power. He can do anything. Bible says he can do a ceiling bunny above all you can ask or think. We don't even get to ask and think stuff. Well, what something's got to be missing somewhere, and it ain't on God's end. It's on our end. We not really hearers of the word. You hear more TV than you hear Bible. So when it's time, when you got to throw down, when you got to kick the devil's behind, you got to throw down. You don't have nothing. And so you got to go home and train. You come out of that fight defeated, and now I realize I need to go home and train. And you train enough to get the victory, and then you throw your Bible down. Yeah, no. No, sir. You have to keep this thing. This is life. It's all the time. All the time. Every day. Every day. Matter of fact, why don't you just do this? Every day, hear some word, at least one hour. Yeah. At least one hour. That's just one CD. Yeah. Just put one on and let it play. Yeah. Or watch to see what happens to your life. Yeah. Now, it sounds like, oh, my God, that's me, son. What am I going to do? You're going to miss one television show. You're going to miss two half-hour shows. It's not that big of a deal. Most of you, if you drive to work, you can get it done right there. If you catch the subway, you can get it done right there. Just see, by now you should have an iPod anyway. Or something. At least you ought to have a CD player by now. A portable CD player should be by now. Why? See, again, it's so you can hear word. All the technology is for us anyway. To bless our life. Yeah. Where was I? I was somewhere in here talking about this guy's servant. All right, he heard of Jesus. And he sent unto him the elders of the Jews, beseeching him that he would come and heal his servant. Now watch, when they came to Jesus, they besought him instantly, saying that he was worthy for whom he should do this. For he loves our nation and have built us a synagogue. Now again, now we've seen this before. They start pleading on his behalf. And they said, now you ought to do this because it's a good guy.
Yes.
All right. Matter of fact, he built us a church and he banked the whole thing. Amen.
Amen.
Lord, you ought to do this. Because this dude right here is serious. He built us a church. Now, remember, I asked, if you were incapable of pleading your case, what could we say about you? Now, watch. See, you don't have to pay for your healing, but there is a principle that's at work. If you're faithful to God, he will be faithful to you. So, see, now ask yourself, if you were unconscious or somebody in your family was sick and you couldn't get out, and so you sent somebody to go to Jesus, what could they say about you? Did you come to church on Sunday? And every now and then you make it on Wednesday? And if ain't no bills due or you ain't on vacation, you tired? And you pray every now and then? And you do bring your Bible to church? I mean, would you need mercy or would you have anything that proves you've been faithful to God? Now, again, listen to what I'm saying. You don't have to pay for your healing. The healing's already been paid for by Jesus. We're just operating. There is a principle in operation that if you're faithful to God, he will be faithful to you.
Yes.
Amen. All right, we can say it this way. What you sow, you reap. Have you sown any faithfulness? Do you make it on time? Y'all here?
Amen.
You know the right answer is yes. Yeah, that's the right answer. But ain't nobody said nothing. It's like y'all just sitting here thinking. Well, Pastor, it is already painful. It is painful. But now notice, they're interceding on his behalf. What would people do on your behalf? Is this on? See, what could anybody say anything good about you? See, some folk, man, they got some faith. Yes. Sure, I'm here all the time and I'm a tither. See, sometimes just, you know, I mean, you ever said to God, now, Lord, you know, the more money I get, the more money you get. Yeah, if you're going to bless anybody, here I am. Because if the more money hit my pocket, hits your pocket. Whatever comes to my hand comes to your hand. See, there's certain things that your faithfulness will release his faithfulness to you.
Amen.
But now think about it. Can anybody plead your case? Have you ever given anything away other than grief? You ever helped anybody? Is it consistent or is it like Christmas? It comes once a year, you know. See, you follow me?
Yes.
Could somebody, see, these guys could please his case. Yeah, let's go home. It didn't work the last time either. Amen. All right. Then Jesus went with them. Now you, again, come on. He coming to the house? Do you think you going to, Send a message out and say, Lord, I'm not worthy. Heck no. Come on in, Jesus. You know, ain't nobody here but us. The sad thing is, for most of us, he wouldn't get to say nothing. Because we think that what we got to say is more important than what he got to say. We have a personal rule here at the church. When somebody's famous with us, better not nobody say nothing. All right, that's my rule. See, here's why. You hear all the time. See, we can get your revelation tomorrow. See, just write it down and come back tomorrow. But IV Hill is here just for the night. And if he gonna talk, you better let him talk.
Yes.
And we sharing your special revelation. Let me tell you something the Lord said to me. Yeah, he said, you about to go to somebody else's church. That's the revelation that you about to get. Get out of here. See, if he came to your house, you wouldn't even benefit from it because you'd be doing most of the talking. Tell him all about your troubles. That ain't the time. All right, Jesus. Kick it. I ain't got nothing to say. I'm here to hear what you got to say. Because what he got to say will get you out your stuff anyway. That's just a side issue, though. You pray the Lord. All right, now watch. But when he was now not far away from the house, the centurion sent friends to him, saying unto him, Lord, trouble not yourself, for I am not worthy that you should enter under my roof. Wherefore, neither thought I myself worthy to come unto thee, but say in a word, and my servant shall be healed. Now notice his understanding. For I'm a man set under authority, having under me soldiers, and I say unto one, go, and he goes, to another, come, and he comes, and to my servant, do this, and he doeth it. Now here's something you need to understand. All right, and I'll say it that way. Understanding authority equals understanding faith. All right, get this. And everybody in here is either over somebody or under somebody's authority. All right, understanding authority is understanding faith. This man had not spent a whole bunch of time in church. He's a Roman soldier. What did he understand? I understand authority and how it works. I got soldiers under me. When I tell them to do something, they do it. I have superiors over me. When they tell me to do something, I do it. So Jesus, all you need to do is give me a word. That's it. You don't have to come to my house. Just from where you are, tell him to be healed. Whoa. Whoo. Just tell him, be healed. You just speak a word and it's over with. Now, most of the church doesn't operate like that. All right. We don't understand authority. I ain't talking about y'all. I'm talking about the church in general. That's why we'll get in a healing line, but we don't receive a lot from preaching. Because the healing line is real to us. But we don't understand authority. All I need is that word. If I can find what God has said, no weapon formed against me can prosper, then it's over. Oh. See, if I call home now and I tell my son to walk the dog will be walked. I don't physically have to be there for the dog to be walked. At my word, he'll walk the dog. Because I said so, he'll walk the dog. I don't even have to go home and check. Now, I do. Okay, you know how your kids are, man. Oh, Lord, I forgot, Daddy. But generally, watch, your word alone is enough. So that anything and anybody under your authority will do what you say do. All right, see, now y'all going. But you ain't getting it yet, because if you got it, you'd be running right now. See, if you speak something to something or someone under your authority, they will obey. I don't have to be physically present. If I wasn't nowhere close, if somebody's under my authority, a phone call is just like being there. Amen. And everybody under my authority will do what I say. Okay, well, let's do it another way. Go to Ephesians. I've read my Bible before. I at least looked at it. There's some stuff in here now. Y'all with me so far? Yeah. All right, so now say this. Anything. or anybody
under my authority
has to obey me.
Has to.
All right. Now, that's all he understood. He didn't know nothing. Get it. He didn't have no New Testament. He didn't have, he ain't watched Creflo that morning. He ain't got no tapes. He ain't got no books. He don't even have a scroll probably. He don't have nothing. Here's what he knows. Jesus has authority over sickness. So all I need him to do is just say something. That's it. That's why I'm saying if you can understand authority, you can understand how faith can work. Now, Ephesians chapter 1. Let me see. Ephesians 1. Let's just jump in here, verse 19. And what is the exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ. Which he wrought in who?
Christ.
All right, which he wrought in Christ, the anointed one, and his anointing, when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places. Question, where is Christ seated? He's seated where? Where is he seated? At the right hand of the Father in heavenly places. All right, let's read on. All right, now here's where he's seated. Far above all principality and power and might, dominion, every name that's named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. And have put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head over all things to the church. Now that would be us, which is his body, the fullness of him that fills all in all. All right, so where is he seated? Okay, I think you said the right thing. All right, now drop down to chapter 2. Look at verse 5. Even when we were dead in sins, have quickened us together. Quickened us together, of course, means made us alive together with Christ. For by grace are you saved. And raised us up together. Say, I've been raised up.
I've been raised up.
Now watch. And made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus.
Yeah.
All right, well, where am I seated? Okay, I don't think y'all got that one right. All right, where's Christ seated? At the right hand of the Father. Far above everything. And I and you were raised up together and have been seated together with him. So if he's far above everything and I'm seated together with him, that means I'm far above everything also. And it means then that everything, every name that's named, all the principalities, everything is under my feet also, which signifies they're under my authority. So if I talk to them, they got to do what I say. Every name that's named. Now, names carry authority. So he's talking about every authority that has been authorized is under Jesus' feet, and I'm seated with him. So cancer, and if I say something to it, oh, Lord, help me. Poverty is under my feet. And so if I tell it to do something, it's got to obey me. Man, I said something, it ain't going nowhere. It's got to obey me. I spoke to it, it ain't there. It's got to obey me. See, it's where your faith has to come in. I told you, leave my household.
Amen.
Me and my family are going to live and not die. And declare the works of the Lord.
Amen.
Sickness and disease cannot live in and on my body. There's a lot of praying we do that we could really decree some stuff.
Right. Amen.
See, understanding authority is understanding faith. This man said, you ain't got to come. Most famous man of the time. He said, you ain't got to come to my house. You just stay where you are. All I need you to do is just from there, tell him to be healed here. Because I understand authority. I'm under it, and I have folk under me. And every time I speak a word, everybody under me does what I say. Every time my superiors tell me to do something, I do what they say. So I know you over sickness and disease. Just tell it to go, and it'll go. And so Jesus turned around and said, man, I ain't seen no faith like this. He said, now as you watch, because here's the key issue. As you have believed, be it unto you. Now watch, as you have believed, that's why it's like it is for you right now. And if you want to change what's going to happen in your future, you got to change what you are believing. Because if you keep believing what you've been believing, you're going to keep getting the same thing you've been getting. Are you listening to me?
Yes.
Now get this. You're authorized. You're in charge. Brother Copeland says it this way. You're the prophet of your own life. You authorized. See, when the books are settled, you won't be able to blame nobody. Especially not you, because you've heard us talk about this time and time again. You won't be able to say, well, you know, I was black. Okay. I was white among a whole lot of black folks. That was you. Okay, well, there you go. See, God ain't going to go, oh, I'm sorry. I didn't know that's where you found yourself. No, see, all that ain't got nothing to do with anything. It's just natural stuff, and your spiritual heritage overcomes your ethnic background anyway. You just need to begin to apply your faith. As you believe, that's how it'll be done unto you. Now watch, ain't no need to have an authority if you don't use it. Start
right.
Talking to stuff.
Right.
Now, I don't mean, you know what I mean. I don't mean like all out loud, standing on your desk, casting all the devils out of your employment, you know. All the devils get out, that ain't what I'm talking about. I'm talking about start, there are things in your life, start calling in every tither, start calling in your prosperity.
Yeah.
And start ordering poverty to go. And then every day, just praise God and thank God that prosperity has come to your house and poverty is gone.
Amen.
Thank you, Jesus. Amen.
Every day. See, it's not a lot to being prosperous. It's not a lot to farming. Farmers, it's not a lot to farming money. I'm from the South, so I understand how this works. Anything you need to receive that you're going to receive by seed, the seed has to be worked. You just can't sow it in the ground and ignore it. You have to sow it and take care of it until you bring it to harvest. And I mean, a lot of us, you know, we got faith, but we don't exercise it on a consistent basis. Once a seed is sowed, it has to be watered. It has to be fertilized. You just can't grab a scripture and say something once. You got to keep watering that seed, and it'll grow. It will. Now I quit because I'm out of time. Well, actually, I'm not out of time. I got 8 minutes, but that's enough. I'm going to save that 8 minutes for another time. Okay. Well, one more scripture then. Go to Luke 10. So y'all, oh, okay. All right. I'm going to remember that. All right. I tried to let y'all out early. You didn't want to go. Luke 10. Let's look at one more authority scripture. Are you there? It says, after these things, the Lord appointed other 70 also and sent them two by two before his face into every city and place whether he himself would come. And he talks to them. And then in verse 7, it says, and the 70 returned again with joy, saying, Lord, even the devils are subject unto us through your name. See, they had authority. And they were amazed because they said, if we use your name, the devils bow down. Y'all with me? Okay. Now, they're not born again yet. They're just hanging out with Jesus. He gave them their name. You're in a much better position than them. All right. Now, notice what he says. And he said unto them, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. Man, I like that. They didn't just toss him out of there. They kicked his butt out of there. I like that. I just, you know, because, you know, when lightning comes, you know. They grabbed it. I'm taking over. No, you ain't. All right. Now watch what it says. Behold, look, I give unto you power. Power is the Greek word exousia. It means authority. I give unto you authority to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power. That's the Greek word dunamis. It means ability. All right. All the ability of the enemy. No, let's don't do the nothing part yet. Let's just see what he said right there. He said, now look. I'm giving you authority so that if any ability of the enemy shows up, you can tread on it. And you say, either you don't believe me or we talking two different languages here. All right. Notice what he said now. I give unto you authority to tread on. You ever had roaches? Not in your house now. You ever had roaches? You know what tread means. Because you ever invite somebody to their house and there was a roach. Hey, see what's going on over there. I used to have roaches in my college dorms to the point where I got home for my vacations. My mom would make me take all my clothes off at the door. Yeah, she didn't, not one roach going in her house. I mean, we just had daytime roaches. You just be sitting in the light. They just, you know, I mean, you just be sitting talking to a girl or something. Roach just come right across the floor. He wouldn't be running fast. He'd just be, you know, like, hey, what's up? You know, just. And so I understand what tread means. All right, you get to step on the enemy's ability. And nothing shall by any means hurt you. Now, ain't that in red? Amen. Which means what?
Jesus.
It means Jesus said. Can he lie?
No.
So then that's the truth.
Yeah.
That means every one of us has been given ability, authority that allows us, if we'll do it, to tread on the enemy's ability.
Amen.
Well, sickness is the enemy's ability. It means you can tread on it. You can walk on it with your faith. Look how y'all looking, though. Y'all looking like, can we, Pastor? Yeah, this ain't new news. This is old news. You can walk on it. Walk on it. But you got to walk on it. And you got to be confident you can walk on it. And I don't care, look, whether you at the doctor's or whatever. Remember what I said, that they're taking you to the in the ambulance and the light's on, and they got you hooked up, and
right.
Choosh, when they clear, you go, y'all know I'm here. Y'all know I'm healed, don't you? I'm healed. Don't put yourself in the hands of no man or woman. I'm staying in the hands of God.
Yeah.
Now, if y'all need to hit me again.
Yeah.
But I'm still healed.
Yeah.
See, you can tread on some of this stuff. There's some stuff you ask, God, get this off me. Get it off yourself.
Amen.
If you remember, the Bible says that the Apostle Paul had a messenger of Satan that was sent to buffet him. All right. And remember, he said he went to God and said, can you please get rid of this? And God said, my grace is sufficient. Now, what we said, what religious people heard was, all right, see, in other words, you can bear it. That wasn't what he was telling him. He was saying, what I've done on your behalf through Jesus, you get him off. You get him off. Now, this ain't going to work on people. It works on spiritual things. Don't try to tread on your friends. But you can tread on spiritual things. When the enemy's trying to do something, you have the authority to walk on it. Start using your faith.
Yeah.
Amen?
Amen.
All right. So now you've got authority. You're authorized.
Amen.
What's the point of being seated above everything? You ain't going to order something around.
Right.
That's the whole point of being in authority. Come here. What you doing? Well, go do something. That's the whole point of being in authority. Don't you ever feel like that's what your bosses do to you? You just, come here, what are you doing? Well, I'm just reading over this pamphlet. You read that on your own time. I just felt like sometimes they were just like, that's right, I'm in charge. And you need to buck at the devil. Because some of you think he's in charge anyway.
All right.
Never have been, never gonna be. Defeated foe, defeated foe, defeated foe, defeated foe. Step up to the plate. Right now, step out of here because we're about to go home. Hop up on your feet. Or you can stay if you want to. Just lock the door on your way out. But I'm finna go home. All right. Come on, say it. I have authority.
I have authority.
I'm authorized.
I'm authorized.
Say this. I'm seated
with Jesus
In heavenly places.
In heavenly places.
Now say it like this. Far above.
Far above.
Any name that's named.
Any name that's named.
Any authority that's authorized.
Any authority that's authorized.
Everything.
Everything.
Is under my feet.
Is under my feet.
Therefore.
Therefore.
I speak to.
I speak to.
Sickness and disease.
Sickness and disease.
And I order you.
And I order you.
Cease.
Cease.
Desist.
Desist.
Stop.
Stop.
Dry up.
Dry up.
Die.
Die.
In my life.
In my life.
In the life of my family.
In the life of my family.
In the life of all our partners.
In the life of all our partners.
It's done.
It's done.
Because I said so.
Because I said so.
Okay, now what? Don't be looking for nothing now. Well, I don't know. Let me see. Let me see. It didn't happen. No, it happened because we said so.
Amen.
Now, all you need to do is just keep your foot on the pedal. Got nothing to do right now with how you feel. If you still can't move your shoulder, I spoke to you. I've told you to line up with the word of God, and you've lined up. See, that's faith. That's faith. And one day you'll be in the kitchen, you'll go, oh, Lord. Oh, Lord. I'm telling you what, if you've been here all 5-6 weeks listening, if you get these CDs and listen, if you start checking you out anyway, your face already jacking up. And there'd be some stuff you'd be like, you know what? Man, that thing, I was hurting right there, but it's because see your face jacking up. And you might not be paying attention. You might have your eye on something big. But watch and see. Give about week 7, 8, 9, watch and see what starts to happen to you. Because I mean, if you listen to this stuff and you believe it, it'll jack your faith up. And when your faith moves up, manifestation is gonna come. It's just that simple. It ain't hard. Now you got authority. Don't let the devil boss you around anymore. Don't accept anything Jesus died to deliver you from. Just start telling it what to do. Start talking to it. Start talking to your money. Calling it in. Here I am. Come here. Right here. Here I am. Blessing. Because the Bible says every day you wake up, see, there's new mercies.
Yes, it is.
See, there's new stuff. See, you know, God don't bring out the rerun or the leftover stuff. It's new stuff every day. Something's supposed to break out for me every day. Something's supposed to break out for you every day of your life. Something's supposed to break out. Something's supposed to be happening. This is your time. Amen. All right, join hands with your neighbors. Father, we do bless you and thank you for this day. Thank you for this time, Lord, around your word. Now, Father, we thank you and bless you for authorizing us. Thank you that we're healed from the top of our heads all the way down to the soles of our feet. Thank you, Lord, no weapon formed against us can prosper. Now, Father, I thank you. With long life, you're satisfying all of us. Every sickness, any disease, and operation in any one of our partners, Father, we thank you. We've already told it to cease and desist, and it has. Now, Father, as one man, we exercise our faith and exercise our authority, and we decree and thank you for our healing. Thank you, Lord, for our deliverance. And, Lord, anybody on the sound of my voice, Father, that's going through something serious, don't let them cast away their confidence, Father. And we thank you and we praise you that their faith get in a position to receive, and they receive from you in its fullness. And we give you praise for it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Come on, lift your hands and thank God.